Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
I'm Jason Cunningham in for Mr. Goldstein, and you're listening to the TalkSport Daily podcast. On the show today, you'll hear the fallout from the Old Firm clash with a former hoop unhappy with Stephen Gerrard's behaviour after the match. We'll hear from the new West Ham manager David Moyes, and a former Premier League player defends VAR. No, really, he does defend it. But it's West Ham where we start, and David Moyes' his first press conference since rejoining the Hammers, thanks to West Ham TV.
I want to see what fits best for the club, but ultimately I want to play good football, I want to play exciting football, I want to give everybody something to cheer about and shout about. You know, being round the stadium, obviously I know my way around and the training ground, so I'm looking forward to getting started. But you know, what we need to do is be together. Know a club together, supporters, players, and I really want to make something special. I do know that it's such a big club, and somewhere soon someone's going to get West Ham near the top of the league and is going to have them challenging. I have to make sure that someone's me.
And staying with the Irons, here's Drive Time with Tony Cascarino and Georgie Bingham.
Well, the interesting thing on this, Georgie, is why wasn't he appointed in 2018-19 season? Why did they go for Pellegrini? I was going to say, Georgie, what didn't they see in David Moyes not to give him the job?
Hollywood is what I think. I think they thought they were a bit... Pellegrini was bigger and more blockbuster.
Yeah, there is a real emphasis on football where you have to have entertainment. You have to produce it. The game has evolved where you put a team out. Now fans have to be happy what they see. It's got to be good, it's got to be entertaining, and you've got to be successful. So there's sort of three demands in one there. Now, the onus was only on keeping West Ham up. Now, this is the same situation he walked into.
Kind of, yeah.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where he walked into a situation, he's got to keep West Ham up. Now, he's offered 18 months, so he's now in a situation, he gets to the end of the season, what happens? It's going to be, yep, you've kept us up. Next season, we've got to have a bit more again. It's not going to be a relegation battle. The trouble is, he's got a very average team in many, many departments. Fullbacks need completely revamping. But this guy has got to do what many other managers who have come when this decision happens, and it's pretty brisk. They come in, they get offered the job. To keep a team up, is the objective is that and nothing more now for West Ham.
This is Jermaine Pennant with Lindsay Hipgrave in for Jim White on the Mid-Morning Show. And this is Jermaine defending VAR.
Jermaine, you're happy with the way it's working?
Love VAR. Love VAR.
I think you're the only person I've found who's ever said that.
It's all right, let's get to the bottom of it. It's not VAR. It's the rules. They're not making... The VAR don't make the rules. They've got... they're going by the lines, the rule book. If someone's offside by a centimetre, if someone's offside by a yard, they're offside. That's what the rule book states. So VAR are just going by the rules. And, you know, Liverpool's goal was disallowed originally for an handball. It wasn't handball.
But there was a previous handball in the build-up to that from Van Dijk, which wasn't even picked up by it or wasn't even... discussed.
That's the because the referee didn't bring it back. The referee played on, And
it was still in that attacking phase of play, though, which effectively led to the goal. So for things like that, there was a blatant penalty that Andy Carroll should have had at the weekend. They didn't pick that up. But yeah, we're ruling out these goals for millimetres and spoiling the enjoyment of the game. We want more goals in the game. We want to give the benefit of the doubt to the attacker.
But there you go. You want more goals in the game. But then Liverpool's goal won't have counted because the referee disallowed it when it was a perfect goal. So look, we're not saying it's perfect and there will be mistakes, but they have it in every other sport and there's no complaints. You have it in tennis, Orkai. You have it in cricket, you know, when an umpire gives a decision. When it's not, it goes upstairs. They have a look at it. It's in basketball. It's in rugby. So it's in other sports. But
I'm happy to have it, a little bit, if it is just for the blatant howlers, that it's not interfering. We're told minimal interference for maximum benefit. And it's not. It's interfering all the time. There's constant breaks in the game. It's interfering on things that it shouldn't. If it was a blatant howler, if it's something which is clear and obvious, that's what we're sold. These offsides are not clear and obvious.
I think we have to go to the rules then. I think that maybe the rules are going to have to get changed to allow VAR to, you know, do what it's doing, where they're not penalising for millimetres, centimetres, if that's what people are complaining about. But they are just following the rules. The rules say if you're offside, you're offside, and that's what they're doing. You know, the only people who are moaning in here is the people who have had the fans and the players who have had the decision against them.
I know a few Tottenham fans who had absolutely no problem with that goal from Pookie and thought it was a ridiculous decision. I don't think there's a Spurs fan out there who would have complained if that goal was given.
Yeah, well, probably. Well,
that was the worst one I've seen. That one. I mean, he's like I said, feet are like a foot onside.
Well, there's going to be mistakes, you know, and the longer it goes on, the better it'll get. But I'm all for it, like, because you know it could help and destroy teams. It could help a team win the league, win a competition, get stay up from relegation. You know, because the referees do make blunders and the VAR corrects that.
Over to the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast, and this is Jamie O'Hara's slightly different take on VAR.
Absolutely killing the game. I don't know what the answer is, but all I know is that it is ruining football. You know, they're killing it out. It's got to go. I don't know what the... For me, my biggest thing is people saying about moving the line and all these lines and... You know, Souness, he said on Sky last night about, you know, if your body's onside, then you're onside, you know, instead of it being offside. But the problem is whenever you put a line somewhere, there's always going to be a marginal decision. Mm. Wherever you put that line. So for me, the only way forward to stop all this nonsense of killing football matches is take away VAR for offsides. Just scrap it. Mm. Do it for red cards. Do it for... You know, clear and obvious fouls and, you know, things like that. But for offside, just get rid of it. People pay good money, and it's very expensive to go and watch Premier League football matches. Mm. And people are paying good money to go and watch these games, and they're chalking off goals. You know, that's what we're going, that's why we watch football. That's why it's an entertainment business. It is a complete joke. I mean, it is ruining the football match. And you know what it was so disappointing that is Neto who scored, Neto. The passion when he scored and all the fans and the players all running over celebrating.
Well, that's what annoys me. That's what really gets me.
And now it's just, you're seeing the players looking every time they're looking at it thinking, oh, well, there's no point celebrating because there might be a marginal offside or a toe, you know. It's just, it's complete joke.
This is former Celtic striker John Hartson now, with Lindsay Hipgrave and Jermaine Pennant looking back at the Old Firm clash, which saw Rangers win at Parkhead for the first time in 9 years.
I think the Celtic fans are intelligent enough, not naive enough to think that there's a challenge. And the way Rangers performed, outplayed Celtic at times in the cup final and outplayed Celtic on their own pitch yesterday, although Celtic missed a penalty, and they had two chances cleared off the line. So the game could have swung. But, you have to say that they're not, Celtic fans are not naive enough. Lee Lennon's not naive enough to think that, you know, he might have to bring in one or two additions during this break. One or two of the players looked a little bit Forrest, got taken off. Ryan Christie looked a bit subdued after his penalty miss. So for me, you know, they need to look fresher after this break. and they need to come back and show the, you know, the sign of real champions and kick on again in, you know, the second half of the season. But as I said, they're not stupid, they're not naive. They will know Rangers, the way that they played is a little bit unnerving for Celtic, to think that there is a real challenge now. Mm. Rangers have a game in hand. If they win that game and then they go top, but there's still a load of other games to negotiate.
John, what did you think of Gerrard's celebrations at the end? He nutted the camera, didn't he?
Yeah, well, listen, he's obviously absolutely thrilled with the win. It's not easy to win at Celtic Park. I thought, you know, Stevie, I thought the handshake was slightly wrong. I thought he just slapped Neil's hand and he slapped John Kennedy's hand and sort of walked away. I thought Stevie would have shook the hands, man to man, looked him in the eye, shook hands. But he didn't. It was almost like a high five, a slap, and walked away. But listen, it's not a criticism. It's just the way he was obviously delighted to have got the 3 points. He felt his team played very well. And that was the only thing I was a little surprised about, that he didn't shake the guy's hands.
Well, I could tell you this, John.
He's just not down with the kids.
Yeah. I can tell you this, John. Him being my, you know, former captain, he's a passionate guy, and you know, with Celtic being the arch rivals, there was never going to be smiles and hugs and handshakes, and that's a Stevie G. But I'm sure that, you know, they won't, not Neil and Anko won't be taking it personal.
John, you're saying you haven't seen that passion from him up to now?
Not in these games, I haven't, no. I've not seen that sort of excitement and facing the camera. But obviously, it means an awful lot to him. Stevie's one of my heroes. Listen, I supported Liverpool as a kid. You know, I grew up watching the great Liverpool players. He's arguably alongside Kenny Dalglish and all these other greats, the Rushes, you know, he's a wonderful player. And I looked up to Stevie when he was at Liverpool. But at the end of the day, he's great passion as a player. But since he's been at Rangers, in all fairness, he's not had a lot to shout about. He's not had an awful lot to get passionate about. But yesterday, I can understand him showing that passion. But I still feel, if you look at the celebrations, he's sort of slapped Neil's hand. I thought he would have shook their hands properly and then was celebrated. That was the only thing that I was slightly
not
concerned about. That surprised me a little bit.
Now, this is Max Rushton and Charlie Baker in for H&J.
So we got this beautiful aftershave for Christmas. Yeah. And I thought, why is it only David Beckham that has aftershave named after him, Max? Mm-hmm. Other players should also have aftershaves, shouldn't they? You know, that's how we think. And you've said, oh, no, we should come up with names for those aftershaves.
Aftershaves for footballers.
So I've said Calamity from Roberto Jimenez, the West Ham goalkeeper.
Okay, that's nice. I mean, Mustafi also wears that, I believe. this is from Ed, says, Beans on Toast by Paul Merson. That's nice, isn't
that's lovely,
it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. James says, Simulation by Jack Grealish. I mean,
that's a shame.
Could be a...
Socks Down. By Jack Grealish.
Socks Down by Steve Claridge.
Yeah.
Brute by Ian Dowie. They're not. I think there's real Cut Inside, says Harry, by Arjen Robben.
Oh, that's nice.
It's really lovely. Good.
We've got Matt from the Sussex countryside has been on. He's saying Gruff by Sean Dash.
Gruff by Sean. Yeah, that's nice.
This Christmas.
He says spicy with pleasant earthy undertones. And the hint of worm, if you remember the rumour that Sean Dyche ate worms when he was playing. I don't know if it's true, but someone came out and said when he played alongside Sean Dyche, he would just wander around the pitch eating worms.
Oh, lovely. For bands, lovely, wouldn't it?
I guess. Yeah. Dan says Lagoon by Phil Jones.
that's nice.
Spurs says Gloves by Pascal Chimbonda. Gloves. They're really nice. Jim, Mystery by Ian Culverhouse. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, yes.
So look, keep them coming, please. Footballers aftershaves. The other one is obviously the second coming of David Moyes. And we were saying disappointing second comings. It's not like the Bible. People went, that's Jesus. He's a good one. People have gone with Moyes. Oh, I'm not sure about that one. You know, had it been, you know, if Moyes had come back in biblical times, like, oh, got better prophets out there, aren't they?
He's a safe pair of hands.
But is he going to change the world? Is he going to bring peace to our time? Is he?
He nearly fed us all with the loaves and fishes. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a gut me now.
Remember, they only gave an 18-month contract, didn't they?
Hi, I'm Danny Kelly, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Back to breakfast, and here's Jamie O'Hara on Manchester United and Erling Haaland.
They're a proper football club, and they want to do things right, and they're not going to be held to ransom. You know, that maybe that they looked at it and thought, yeah, he's done well, but we got Mason Greenwood.
Yeah.
You know, we got Mason Greenwood, we got Martial. You know, what are we going to stifle their chance to get in the first team, to bring in a 19-year-old and pay him 300 grand a week who might set the world alight, but he might not. We don't know yet. It just annoys me a bit when you see all that everyone's linked to Man United, and then if they don't sign for Man United, it's like, oh, Man United haven't got him because, you know, no one wants to sign for Man United. I don't think that's the case.
This is the press. Yes, it says this again. It said this every time. Why change it? This is the press box with Danny Kelly, Sean Custis, and Bruce Millington. You can catch the show every Monday night at 7. And this is them talking about England's first defeat, test defeat, to South Africa. This is it.
It's difficult, this, because he is such a great player and there's nothing wrong with the fella at all. But Joe Root is not a good England captain. That's the, I mean, he's not in charge of a good team, but he's not a good England captain either. And the real problem with that is there's nowhere for them to go with that. You can't make Stokes captain because Flintoff has put the kibosh on ever having the all-rounder as captain again. The next one on the they're not going to make the two fast bowlers because we've had enough cliques with them over the years. And that leaves Rory Burns, who's struggling to establish himself in international cricket as the possible captain.
This is where I will wheel out something I've said for most of the 25 years I've been doing my column. You should be able to have non-playing captains. They're managers. These things are... they're senior
this
management roles.
This is why Millington's here, people.
Let the guy out on the field, he wears a red coat. It could be Jeff Boycott. It could be whoever you want. It could be Brearley, whoever you want, Atherton. Get him out. You don't. Why should a player have to make all these crucial decisions? It's too much.
I mean, we saw the South Africans 20 years ago try it, didn't we? When the coach was in the ear of the captain, he was wearing an earpiece, and they put a stop to that straight away. But you make a very good point.
A non-playing captain would be a fascinating new factor in cricket.
Because they have to. I mean, and fascinating is what they have to bring back to test cricket. I love it, but I partially that's because I'm. It's like people who like Coronation Street. You're so invested because I've been watching it for so many years. I know the ins and outs of it. I know the names from the past. I know the current players. I'm invested in it. But if I was a neutral coming to it and comparing it to the Indian Premier League, for instance, why would you ever get into test cricket? And also, you know, the game, either the pitch is too docile and 500 plays 550 after 4 days, or you get a game like this where no England player really comes to grips, either batters or bowlers, with a slightly lively pitch, shall we say, and it's over in 3.5 days, leaving TalkSport 2 with nothing to do for a whole day, by the way. Sean, let me ask you a really brutal question. Is there any future for test cricket?
I think us of an older vintage like to think so. I still love going to test. I went this year. I still love going to watch it. I still enjoy it. I went to the World Cup final as well. There's two different games in
yes,
many
they
ways.
Are. They're but, different sports.
But I love going to both. Whether younger people would still sit through 5 days of test cricket, I'm not so sure.
I think the trouble is if you go to, say, day one of a test, I always call it the 270 for three thing. You come to the end of it, you've walked away, you've spent 6 hours, you thought, well, I'm in football terms, I'm only 20 minutes through the match. Yeah. It's difficult. And also, they don't help themselves with the pricing policy. 100 quid to get into Lords is a disgrace.
They
really want to. Day three is the day you always want to go to a test match. That's part of the problem, I
Unless
suppose,
England are playing, because it might all still be going on.
And of course, the second test gets underway on Friday at 7:30 a.m. on TalkSport 2. Now to the sports bar's best bits, myself and Perry Groves, and here they are. This is them. It's New Year's Eve. Be the last caller
or
on the train of the decade. Not just the year, the decade.
Or you could be the last train caller. Run out of steam.
No,
Does it Perry, run out of
no,
steam?
No, Perry, they won't let us down, mate. Be a hero. Pick up the phone.
Tickets,
08717 double two, double three, double four. World aboard! Tickets, please! Tickets! Madness. Okay. So the lines we go. We are going to, you're the last caller on the midnight train of this decade. Double three, double five.
No pressure.
Hello, mate.
Who are we talking to?
Talking to Paul.
Hi,
now, Paul, you
hello,
you have the privilege of being the final caller on the midnight train
Excellent.
Of the decade. Excellent. Not just the year, the decade.
Entertain us, Paul.
So make this a good one. Don't don't disappoint, Paul.
Well, be honest, fellas, I was listening to those stories and I've nearly turned the radio off. so I thought I'd ring up with something poignant related to the VAR.
Oh, I was going to say, we can't end the decade on that. We can't do that. We can't. We can't. Legally, we're not allowed to do that. Otherwise, the train will never run again.
You can't do that.
You can't. Oh, my gosh. 6954. Oh, my God.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you all right?
Who's this?
This is Richard.
How old are you, Richard?
Me, I'm 44.
Good work.
Right, now then, Richard, I don't know if you heard the last two callers. We cannot end the midnight train of this decade either talking about sport. Okay, now, Richard...
Shall I tell you what, Cundit, I like to go to bed on a night time with Cundit and Goldstein, and I am the last midnight caller. Good night of the decade. See you later.
You've been listening to TalkSport's Daily Poddy. Please click and subscribe via Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There'll be a special edition of the Poddy tomorrow previewing all of the New Year football. And speak of New Year football, don't forget that all, yes, all of the Premier League football on New Year's Day is live and exclusive here on the TalkSport network. Here are a few of the standout games to help you through your hangovers. From 11 a.m. in game day exclusive on TalkSport, it's Brighton versus Chelsea in a TalkSport exclusive with Adrian Durham from the Amex Stadium. From 3 p.m, it's Southampton versus Tottenham. A TalkSport exclusive, 5:30. It's West Ham versus Bournemouth on TalkSport 2. And back on to TalkSport, it's Arsenal versus Manchester United. Laura Woods presents from the Emirates Stadium. Commentary from Sam Matterface, Ali McCoys and Paul Parker. Have a great new year. We'll see you in 2020. Be safe. Be safe, everyone.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.